clearly a prophecy about the Lord Jesus and what his disciples would do on this occasion. But whenever Jesus said this, when he said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night," and even gave scripture to support it, Simon Peter immediately spoke up and said, verse 29, "Although all shall be offended, yet will not I." He's arguing with the Lord, and not only is he arguing with the Lord, he's arguing with the Bible. Because Jesus gave him Bible, didn't he? Jesus gave him the scripture, gave him the word of God to support, to verify what he said was going to come to pass. And that's hard to imagine. It's hard to imagine that somebody would be so brazen as to argue with the Lord and to argue with the word of God. But people do it every day. Folks do this all over the world. They'll argue with what the Bible says. You can present the word of God to people, and I've done it numerous, just hundreds and even probably thousands of times by now. I've talked to people and talked about different subjects, just from one thing to the other, and give them the word of God. Say, this is what the scripture says, and then fuss with you and argue with you, try to tell you that you're not right. And you say, well, this is what the Bible says. This is what God said in the scripture. But they'll just fuss with you and argue with you and act like you don't know what you're talking about. It happens all the time. And the only thing I can say is evidently they just don't believe what the Bible says, or they believe that you're wrong in how you are applying the Bible. It could be one or the other, or maybe even both on some occasions. But it's got to be one or the other or both. They got to think the Bible's not true, or they got to think you don't know what you're talking about in using the Bible to try to show them whatever it is you're trying to show them. But Jesus here makes a statement. He gives scripture to support it, and Peter argues with him. And we went over to Matthew chapter 26 and verse 33 and noticed from Matthew's account that he actually used the word never. He said, "Although all shall be offended, yet will I never be offended." We talked about how you never say never. If you want to get yourself in trouble, have to eat some crow, put your foot in your mouth, whatever, however you want to say it, just say you'll never do something. I have eaten a many a word in my life saying I would never do something. And this is true even when you're talking about something that you might see going on in somebody else's life. We're bad about being self-righteous at times. We have to guard against that. We have to watch out for it. We're bad about being self-righteous. We look at somebody else and them doing something, and what they're doing is clearly wrong, it's bad, and we should be against that, but then we have a condescending attitude, a spirit of arrogance and pride, and say, "Well, I would never act like that." You better watch out. You better watch out. Now, hopefully, if they're doing something really bad, you wouldn't do that. But I still wouldn't say never. I still wouldn't say never. You get yourself in trouble doing that. Because the fact of the matter is, no matter how spiritual you are in your life, I hope you realize that if God takes his hand of protection and blessing off of you, there's no limit to what you'll do. I hope you realize that. I hope every one of us understand that the only reason why we are not as messed up as we see a lot of people in this world is because of his blessing on his life, the restraining power of the Spirit of God operating in our life. It's not because we're good and we're better than these people. We're sinners just like they are. Without the grace of God, we'd be that old saying, "But for the grace of God, there go I." Well, that's how it is. So you have to be careful. Peter's been told, "Look, all of you's going to be offended." Well, they may all, but I ain't. I would never do that. Yeah. Well, what did he do? After arguing with the Lord, telling him he wasn't right, what did he do? Yeah. He went right on and did just exactly what the Lord said he was going to do. You have to be careful. Be very careful. Verse 30, "And Jesus saith unto him, Verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice," before he crowed twice, not before he crows, but before he crows twice, "thou shalt deny me twice and thrice. Jesus says, in this very night, you're saying that you are sure you will not be offended in me. He says, look, Peter, before the night's over, three times you're going to deny me. He tells him exactly. Notice the foreknowledge of the Lord here. I mean, he's foretelling something that's going to happen. It hasn't happened yet, but he knows it's going to happen. He knows everything. He knows what I'm going to do in the next second. He knows what I'm going to do an hour from now. He knows what I'm going to do tomorrow and the next day. And if I'm still around a year from now, he knows what I'm going to do then. He knows. He sees what you and I never see. We see only what's right here in the present, right now. That's it. He sees everything. He knows everything, exactly how our lives are going to turn out, exactly what's going to be done, what we're going to do, how we're going to handle this situation when it comes up, how we're going to deal with this trial when we face it. He knows every bit of that, every bit. And he's telling Peter, look, I know what you're going to do before you even do it. And this is how it's going to play out. In this night, three times you're going to deny me. And look at Peter here. Instead of having a spirit of humility and accepting what Jesus says as fact, and saying, Lord, I don't like to hear that. I don't want to think about me betraying you. But if you say it, Lord, then I just understand that's how it's going to be, and I accept it. I don't really want to accept it, but you said it. The Bible supports it, so I accept it. Now, that would have been the correct attitude, right? I mean, when Jesus spoke to him, and especially when he gives him the Bible, tells him exactly what's going to happen, the right spirit would be, Lord, I'm sorry, first of all, for arguing with you. I'm sorry for saying that you and the Bible didn't know what you're talking about. And Lord, I'm sorry that I'm going to betray you. I don't like to think about it, but you said it and I accept it. You know the saying? If God said it, that settles it, whether we believe it or not. And that's how it is. And we have to be humble enough to accept the Word of God when it's given to us about anything in our life. Not argue, not fuss, not make excuse, but just have a spirit of humility where you accept and you say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. That's the only way you can actually get help with any problem. That's the only way that you can move forward in your life spiritually. Whenever the Lord brings the Word of God to bear on anything, any area of your life, whatever the area is, when he brings the Word of God to bear on that, shines that spotlight of the Word on that area and deals with you about it, the only way you can move on is you have to have a spirit of humility and accept what he says. You've got to. And if you're not willing to do that, if you want to fuss with him and argue with him and make excuses, you're going to stay right there. Wherever you are in your spiritual life, wherever it is, if he brings the Word of God to bear on something and you're not willing to humbly deal with that, then you have gone as far as you're going to go in your spiritual life. You're not going to move forward. And here's the bad thing about that. Some people simply don't care. They don't care if they move forward. They don't even have a desire to move forward. They are perfectly satisfied right where they are. They're content right now with the level of spirituality they have in their life. And it doesn't matter to them. So instead of accepting what the Lord says, then they just going to blow it off, or they're going to fuss with God or deny what the Scripture says, and they're just going to keep on being right just like they are now. There are people, and y'all probably have known some, who got saved and in their life they moved along, did pretty good, and they got to a point. They got to a point in their spiritual life. And for whatever reason, they spent the rest of their life on this earth right there. There were more mountains to climb, so much more to learn, so much more to attain to in their spiritual life, but they got right there and they spent the rest of their Christian life right there. And I guarantee you, the majority of the people that I'm talking about there, if you went back, you could trace it back to a place, a point in time where God brought his word to bear on something in their life and they were not willing to deal with it. And because of that, they spent the rest of their life right there. And some of them, as I said, got so bad off they didn't even care. Didn't even bother. I don't know about y'all folks, but I don't want to be that way. If there's more than I need to learn, and I know there is, I want to learn it. If there's areas in my life that need to be better, and I know there are, I want them to be better. Don't you? Well, if we are, and we say we are, then let's put our money where our mouth is. And when the Lord brings the Word of God to bear on our life and shows us an area of our life that's not right, then let's have a spirit of humility and accept that. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. You know exactly what you're talking about. This is exactly what I need. This is exactly what I need to do. This is exactly what I need to change, and get busy doing it. And when you do that, you know what he'll do? He'll move you along. He'll open up more in your spiritual life, and you'll see things better. You'll learn more. You'll mature and grow. And then guess what's going to happen? Once you take that next step, he's going to bring his word to bear on something else in your life. It's a process. Sanctification in our life is a process. It's a lifelong thing. If I live to be 100 years old, if I live to be 1,000 years old, whatever number you want to pull out, and each time the Lord speaks to me about something, I deal with that. When I get to be 100 years old, there'll still be something else I need to deal with. It's a process, ongoing thing. But the only way to keep moving is when the Lord says, look here, this is how it is. And he puts that light on that area of your life. You've got to accept that. You can't be fussing with him and arguing with him and denying what he says. You got to accept it, and then you can move on. Well, what does Peter do? Verse 31. But he spake the more vehemently. Vehement is forceful, intensely. So when Jesus says, look, three times tonight, he's like, no way. Mm-mm. He says this. He takes it to another level. He says, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Ain't going to happen. No way. No way. And here's the thing. We pick on Peter, but look at what it says here in verse 31. Likewise also said they all. Every last one of them said it. Standing there hearing what Jesus says. Every last one of them fusses with the Lord about it. Not going to happen, Lord. No way. We will die. We'll go to the death with you. We will never deny you. And they're very forceful and intent about it. Well, let's read on and see what happens. Verse 32, and they came to a place which was named Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter and James and John. Now, obviously, there's 11 of them here, because back when they were there in the upper room and they had the Last Supper and Jesus instituted communion, we see from the other Gospels that Judas gets up and makes an exit. The Lord speaks to him, and he says to him, what thou doest, do quickly. And he gets up and he goes out, and the Bible says it was night. So when they leave there and they come out to the Garden of Gethsemane, it's dark at this point. It's nighttime. And he comes out with the 11 remaining disciples to Gethsemane, and he stops at a particular place with them, and he tells them to sit there while he prays. But then when he goes on further, he takes three of his disciples with him. He takes Peter, James, and John. That's a trio that we've seen before. The Lord brought them in close and revealed things and allowed them to be part of things that the other disciples weren't a part of. And as I mentioned to you, when we studied about that before, I can't tell you exactly why that was. I don't know what it was about Peter, James, and John that caused the Lord to bring them in closer and show them things that he didn't reveal to the others. I don't know what that was, but he did. I know he did it, and he did it several times. But he takes Peter, James, and John, and it says he began to be sore amazed. Sore like greatly, greatly amazed. And to be very heavy. When we think of amazed, oftentimes we think of it in the positive. Like we'll see something really spectacular and we'll say, wow, that just amazes me. But you can be amazed about something really bad also. Certainly something positive can blow you away, but you can see something so bad and so horrible that it amazes you. And in this case, when it says he began to be sore amazed, it's not a positive thing. It's not amazed about something positive that's coming up. It's amazed about something very horrible that he's fixing to endure. And he sees it coming. He knows it's coming. He understood more than anybody just exactly what was going to happen to him and what he was going to have to go through. And he's sore amazed. And it says he began to be very heavy. We talk about people being heavy-hearted or being weighted down, burdened down, feeling like we got a ton of bricks on our shoulders. We describe it in all sorts of different ways. He's very heavy here. The weight of what he's about to go through is really coming down on him now. He understands what's very near. Verse 34, and he says unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. He's talking about the sorrow within him, within his soul, being so intense and so bad that he's at the point of death. He could literally have died physically at this point because of the grief, the sorrow of his soul, is what he's saying. My soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Just being so sorrowful inside that it would bring about death is the idea. And that shows you just the agony that he's in here, what he's going through within himself, all of the intense feeling within that he's having to deal with. He says, tarry ye here and watch, talking especially to these three disciples because he had already told the others to sit and pray. So now he says to Peter, James, and John, after they move away from the others, he says, tarry ye here, where he left those three, and watch. He wanted them to watch and pray. You find from the other Gospels that he told them to watch and pray. That is, keep your eyes open, be alert, be focused here, and pray. Spend some time in prayer. That's what he asked of them. That's what he needed from them at that time. He needed their support and their prayers. That's what he needed. All of us need that. Whether we realize it or not, we need the prayers of our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we need this especially when we're going through times of turmoil and strife and trouble and tribulation and heartache and all the things that people have to go through in this life. We need prayers from other people, and we need to be mindful to pray for others that we know need our prayers, not just be selfish. Not just always focusing on ourselves and wanting people to pray for us, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. Well, we need it, but we also need to pray for others. We need to remember to pray for others. And sometimes, in certain situations, that's all you're going to be able to do. There's just some situations in life, there's nothing you can do for the person. There's no way that you can physically do anything for them. But one thing you can always do is pray. And that's what we need to make sure that we do for others when we see them in a very difficult place. Just like the Lord was at this time. He really needed the support and the prayers of these disciples. He needed that. It says in verse 35 that he went forward a little. Luke tells us that it was about a stone's cast. It's about how far he went away from Peter, James, and John. He goes a little further from them. And it says he fell on the ground. Notice, you can just, I don't know if y'all can, but just reading through this thing, I can just sense the how he's feeling here, you know, to a certain degree. Can just sort of feel the pain he's in, the hurt, the grief, the sorrow. And he just collapses to the ground, just falls to his knees in prayer. And I'm going to tell you something. I've said it from this pulpit before and other places as well. You can get in a situation in your life, if the Lord allows it, to where you don't care what anybody else in this world thinks. You'll fall on your knees and beg for God to help you. One of the great things that I believe is destroying our churches today is pride. It's just pride. A unwillingness to humble ourselves, so worried that if we come to an altar, if we get down in a pew on our knees, that somebody's going to think bad of us. Look, Jesus didn't care what anybody thought. And I'm telling you, Lord let you get in a situation where you won't be worried about what the fella or the lady sitting beside you, behind you, around you. You'll fall on your knees and beg for help from the Lord. But he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. The hour, not necessarily a hour as we say, like 60 minutes. An hour as in this whole thing that's fixing to transpire here with him. And one way you know that, if you look on down in this chapter at verse 41, it says, and he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. The hour is come for all this to begin to unfold and take place. That's what it's a reference to. But he's praying here that if there's any way for this thing to pass to where he doesn't have to go through this, if there's any way, he wants his Father to bring that to pass. But here's what you see in verse 36. And he said, Abba, which is a word meaning Father, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. And that's right. The Bible says with God all things are possible. So he says, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. You see there the submission of the Son to the will of his Father. That's what you see. Now he's praying, if we can do this any other way, then let's do that. But if not, then thy will be done. It's the submission of his will to the will of his Heavenly Father. And that's where the victory is at. There's not anything wrong with us praying for things, as long as those things aren't sinful, you know, ungodly things. There's nothing wrong with you praying for something. But you have to always, and I have to always, be submissive to the will of our Father. And if he chooses, for whatever reason, to not grant whatever it is that we're asking for, whatever it is, whether it's something for us or we're praying for somebody else, no matter what, we have to say, thy will be done. If you can't do that, if you can't have that total surrender and just give it to his will and trust that he knows best, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to get bitter. You're going to get mad with God. I've seen it. I've seen people get angry with God. I've seen people get bitter in their soul and all put out and upset. That's a person who is not willing to surrender everything that they desire for themselves or someone else to the will of their Father. If you can do that, then you can have the victory. But if you can't do that, your condition is going to get bad and it's very bitter down inside of you. So there's nothing wrong with asking. Nothing wrong with asking. But if he says no, you have to say, thy will be done. Do that. Verse 37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping. Now, he had told them to watch and pray. He comes back and finds them sleeping. And he saith unto Peter, notice how he singles Peter out here. Peter was the one that was being the most vocal anyway, as he usually was of all the disciples. He was the one generally that, you know, he was the mouthy one in the bunch. Brother Red tell you about dogs. Some of you in here grew up around hunting dogs. I remember growing up, I grew up deer hunting, deer dogs, you know, all the time. And they was always a mouthy dog. You could have a whole pen full of dogs, and they was one going to always be yapping, just yap, 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 just yapping all the time, just mouthy. Riding down the road in a dog box, you can have four or five in a dog box, one in there, just yap, 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 just yapping all the way. Peter was that one that was, you know, just kind of, just, he would be the first to speak up and say something. And here he is, just a little bit before this, I'll die for you. And Jesus says, Peter, just watch and pray. And he comes back and he's asleep. Oh, you're going to die for me? You can't even stay awake and pray for me. But you're going to die for me, are you? So he singles him out. And he cometh and findeth them sleeping and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest not thou watch 1 hour? Just 1 hour? But you're going to die for me, are you? Yeah. We overestimate ourselves sometimes. We overestimate ourselves. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought. We're quick to brag on ourselves, quick to say, this is what I'll do, and this is how I'll handle that. And if he was to say that to me, this is what I'd do to him, and I ain't going to let her talk to me that way. And, you know, just mouthy, overconfident, too big for our britches. And the Lord confronts him here right in front of his two buddies, right there in front of them. He doesn't call him off to the side and say, now, James and John, I don't want y'all to hear that. He says right there in front of them, Peter, what was that you were saying a little while ago? You're going to die for me, are you? And now you can't even stay awake and pray for me? Right in front of them. It's a mild rebuke is what it is. It's what he's giving him. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. The spirit is ready. In another gospel, it says the spirit is willing, which shows you that willing means ready, and ready means willing. That's what it means. Your spirit oftentimes is willing, and it's ready. But this old flesh right here is weak. Always is weak. Always. And what our spirit desires to do and yearns to do, oftentimes our flesh doesn't find the will to do. And he's saying to him, look, your spirit's there. You know, you're all fired up. You're going to die for me. But you got a weak flesh, Peter, just like everybody else. You got a weak flesh. And what you need to be doing right now instead of sleeping is praying. That's what you need to be doing. So he rebukes him. Then it says, and again he went away and prayed and spake the same words. This thing happens three times. Three times he goes and comes and goes and comes. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Luke tells us their eyes were heavy for sorrow. That's what Luke tells us. They're sad. Neither wished they what to answer him. You know, they couldn't. They had no answer. Verse 41, and he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. He knew that Judas was coming. He knew the crowd was coming. He knew all about it. Nothing that happened here caught the Lord off guard. He was completely aware of everything that was going to happen. And he tells his disciples that it's time. It's fixing to happen. I think we'll stop here tonight. Is there any questions that you have about what we looked at? Any questions? Well, I certainly do appreciate y'all being here tonight.